Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A century ago this year, 25 lads arrived in New Zealand headed for Flock House to be trained up for a career in farming. They were the sons of seamen who'd been killed or disabled during the First World War. Alistair Bettles Hall's father was one of the hundreds of teens from Britain who followed afterwards, boarding a ship for a strange place at the bottom of the world. I caught up with Alistair not far from Flock House at the museum in Bulls.
Come on through, wheel your way through all of the display. And this is the permanent display of Flock House.
It's the Bulls and Historical Society collection.
Are you part of? On the walls, old photos, shearing gadgets, graffiti from the woolshed. There are battered suitcases and a globe, a reminder of the long sea journey the youths took.
There were around about 100 orphans brought out each year between 1924 and 1931. So each draft have lovely photographs of the orphans. Typically photographed at Wellington or maybe Portsmouth or Southampton in the UK on their departure and their arrival.
So 750 teens, with either one or both parents gone, came to New Zealand, including more than 100 girls.
The girls typically are a lot more colourful. They seem to be having a lot of fun. The boys tend to be a wee bit more stoic and regimented.
Yeah. Yes, you can tell, can't you? They've got their small, very small leather cases with them. They didn't bring much, did they?
No. And
didn't have much to take, I guess.
Correct. And I think the outfits that they've probably been clothed in were probably donated by the fund for them.
Flock House started thanks to a once thriving wool industry. More on that later.
There's one of the boys, all in their lemon squeezer hats. That was 1926, the 8th draft.
They look sort of military wear almost.
Yes, with their sort of leather boots up to their knees. But part of their clothing that they were supplied with was two sets of clothing with ties.
And even apparently, a tie clip holding it in place.
And apparently 10 sets of collars. But for a lot of these orphans, I'm sure they had hopes and wishes and dreams. Whether everything materialised might be the question. But it certainly, as the photos express, it would have been an adventure for them. Yeah.
Now, this is a personal story for Alistair too. His father, Victor, was one of those sent off to the other side of the world. He'd been in an orphanage because his mother had died, and his seaman father, Alistair's grandfather, was out on the high seas.
If it wasn't for Flock House and Bulls, I wouldn't be alive. So my dad came as a 15-year-old in 1929. He was on the 16th draft. So if he didn't come, he wouldn't have been placed on the Mai farm in Pohongana Valley, wouldn't have met my mum at church, and I wouldn't have been a twinkle in his eye. So I owe a great deal of debt to Bulls and Flock House.
What was the impetus for setting up the school?
In World War One, wool was considered a war commodity. And so the New Zealand government of the day struck a deal with the New Zealand sheep owners to pay them so much per pound for their wool. And then the government sold it on the open market. At the end of the war, that fund had a credit of near on £250,000. So the going rate for the wool was a lot higher than that estimated. And so the government came to the New Zealand sheep owners and said, look, this money belongs to you. Now, led by the then MP of Rangitiki, a Sir Newman, he led a group that said, look, we really can't accept this money. because men lost their lives in the Royal Navy and the Mercantile Navy to keep the shipping lanes open.
So the money went into a fund to help the families of those sailors.
Very generous. Unique in New Zealand. None of the other industries did that. Unique in the world. None of the other Commonwealth countries did that.
But and it was a lot of money at the time.
Apparently, in today's money, $23 million. And so in the early days of the fund, in the early 20s, a lot of money, support, food, blankets was sent to the widows in the UK. Mr. Lee, who was one of the sort of major movers within the society, he came to the realisation that maybe it would be a help to these widows who were struggling, sometimes with multiple children, the father, dead or incapacitated, that maybe we should bring the children to New Zealand to train them up to be young farmers.
Yeah. And how old were most of them that came
out? Well, good point. I don't know whether they had to be of legal age, but my dad was 15. That's approximately the age, maybe into their late teens, 18 or 19.
And was the intention that they would perhaps go back one day, especially if they hadn't lost both parents?
Well, interesting technical note, because we get a few comments that, my father wasn't an orphan, but the Oxford Dictionary definition of orphan is one parent is dead. So you're dead right. I mean, they typically had mothers left behind. So I'm sure, and it's an interesting fact that I think the mothers were very pleased for their sons to go. They were less eager for their daughters to come. Approximately 635 boys came and 124 approximately girls came. The girls didn't come to Flockhouse Balls. They went to a fancier building called Shalimar in Awapuni, and they were taught the skills of, to be a suitable wife for a pioneering farmer. So orchard schools, beekeeping, poultry, nursing, etc.
Over at Flockhouse, the boys were put to work on the land.
The land comprised 8,000 acres of various quality. Some of it was Rangitiki River flats. Some of it was sand dune country. Some of it was covered in gorse. The trustees of the fund brought in well-trained agriculturalists of their days. I think they were taught every facet of New Zealand farming. So after their broad reach training, they were then sent on a placement. But I think they were given easy tasks, but also the hard tasks of planting some, 20,000 pine trees in sand dune country to probably scrub cutting gorse. I guess reading between the lines and what's published, one of the motivations for the sheep owners, you've just had World War One. There's not as many men on the land. A lot of these sheep stations were in very remote places, so maybe a lot of Kiwis weren't that keen on being in the middle of nowhere. So I think maybe a subliminal motivation was to provide a labour force for the New Zealand sheep farmers. Yeah. Now, there's some good stories coming out of the orphans' family, their descendants that they're sharing with us. There's some not-so-good stories. One colourful story is of two friends who decided... Now, remember, in the late 20s, early 30s, it was depression. And so who knows what the general employment environment was for these young men just embarking on a career, an apprenticeship in farming. And so these two young boys, I think from starvation, decided that they would stow away and go back to the UK. So they stowed away in a ship leaving Napier, and apparently they showed themselves 12 hours too early because the ship turned around and brought them back again. So they were put in jail for a couple of weeks, handsomely fared, I understand. However, that didn't deter them. A wee while later, they stowed away again. This time they made it back to the UK.
What were conditions like at Flockhouse? I mean, obviously it was well set up. They had lots of money. Was it hard labour for these kids?
So as you see on the photo on the wall, that's a stately home. I've seen some of the photos from the Archives New Zealand of the dormitories being pretty rustic. So the, you know, the beds just about look like a few fence, totara fence battens hammered together with some rugs and some blankets. The mums were getting wonderful letters back from their sons and daughters. What a wonderful place it is, having a while of a time. Who does one believe? I'm sure they felt homesick. There's a lovely cartoon which I've come across in the archives. In the top of the picture, there's a ship moored up and little stick people coming onto shore. In the background, there's what looks like Mount Taranaki. And then in the foreground, there's a man breaking in a horse, bucking and bronking. This is what we believed we were coming to. And then at the bottom, there's a very lonely-looking character in bedraggled outfit leaning over, hoeing with brilliant sunshine, sweat dripping from his body, hoeing a very bedraggled-looking plant. So maybe this is reality.
After training at Flockhouse, the youths were settled on farms around the country and paid apprentices' wages until the Depression years made it difficult to keep up the flow of teens from England.
And the plans were that they just wouldn't be labourers, that they would be able to buy their own farms. And indeed, the programme, supported that.
Did your father end up in the farming world after all that?
All of his life until I was born in 1956, he was a farm labourer. My dad then gave up farm labouring and they moved into fielding, where he became a labourer in a truck trailer manufacturing business. I've often thought what was going through my grandfather's mind. Either good riddance, young Victor, I don't need to worry about you ever again, or young Victor, this is the best thing that's ever going to happen in your life. He met his wife here, and she was the beacon of his life. Yeah. So
it turned out okay.
It turned out okay.
Flockhouse was eventually opened up to farm cadets from around New Zealand, but closed in the late 80s. Now Alistair's hoping trainees and their descendants will come forward with their stories to help celebrate Flockhouse's beginnings.
A lot of people know Flockhouse as a New Zealand flagship for the training of New Zealand farmers. And after the orphans, what we call the latter years, from 1937 till 1988 when it closed, some 3,000 to 3,500 New Zealand cadets went through this establishment. So the commemoration obviously is an excuse for those 3,000 to 3,500 previous cadets to get together again with their colleagues from 1959 or 1985. But hopefully maybe in some it'll be closure if they're an orphan descendant. For others it'll be a door opening because some of them don't know their histories.
Alistair Bettles Hall. He says they've only been able to contact 20 families descended from the original Flockhouse intakes, and they'd love to hear from more. The centenary celebration's being held in July in Palmerston North, and we'll pop some more information up on our webpage, rnz.co.nz/countrylife.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.